Amen. It is sure good to see everybody this morning, and looking a little rusty back there. I don't know what. Maybe it's my eyes. I don't know. Looking a little rusty. Now, I think it looks great. It's good to see the shirts and everything like that. Looking forward to this week, and I know it's going to be a busy one. Bible school week is always busy, but it's a really, really wonderful thing to take part in. I appreciate all that contribute and what you do. It doesn't go unseen by God, and I just really want to preach on that for a little while this morning, is the importance of VBS. They had gotten saved during vacation Bible school and what have you, so it's an important time. It's not just another week. It's an important week, and I'm looking forward to it. But before I go any further, I do want to thank the church for their prayers for Mom and everything. Is a little. I know my text probably come across maybe scary or something like that when I was sending it out, but I was kind of sending them out real time, and so she'd went to the doctor that morning and had her appointment and everything, and then they were like, "You got to go now." So I didn't know exactly what that meant, so that kind of added to it. But appreciate your prayers there, and I really appreciate Brother Mike filling in for us on such short notice, and wonderful lesson. I tell you, Proverbs, there's so much in there, and kind of really want to focus on a verse out of Proverbs this morning. If you'd like to, let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 6. I know everybody here probably knows this verse. You probably got it memorized and don't know it yet, but when you read it, you'll be like, I know that verse. I know that verse. I think this verse in some ways has been controversial. You know, there's some verses in the Bible that you look at and you say, well, how can that be? How can that be for everybody? Because sometimes you have maybe circumstances or situations in your life, you're like, well, I think I hear what it's saying, but I can give illustrations of situations in life that appear to be different. So I kind of really want to hone in on that this morning, because I think it'll help us. I think it'll really help us and look at the Bible in the way that we're supposed to. I'll say this before we read it and we pray. There are principles in the Bible and there's promises in the Bible. And it's important that we keep those in the right place. Principles and promises. But what we see here, Proverbs chapter number 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, this time together. Lord, I thank you for everyone that is here today. Lord, what a blessing it is to see everybody. And God, I pray for encouragement this morning. For each one that's taking part, God, just uplift them, give them the words to say, the energy this week. I know it can be a tiring and long week in some aspects, God, but what a reward that it is. What a blessing it is to be able to share the gospel with our young people, families, different people, Lord, that maybe just even visiting, God, that's not members or come here on a regular basis, God. It's just an opportunity. But Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for how you've set things up for us, and God, I just pray that you help us to follow your will, follow your guide. We know that's in your word, and God, we just pray that you help us to do that. Help us to do that to the best of our abilities, knowing that it's you that provides the increase, and it's not us, but thankfully, Lord, you give us a part that we can take part in, and everyone has a part. Lord, we really pray also for those who are lost that will be attending. God, I just pray for that seed to be planted. Lord, help that to enter into their hearts, for them to start thinking about things and seeing things, and maybe this week even understand things for the first time. And thank you, Lord, for restoration. I thank you for the restoration that you've done for all humanity, but the restoration you've done in my life, God. You're so good to us in so many different ways, Lord. We just can't even count them all. But, Lord, we thank you. We love you. Again, Lord, also ask for your forgiveness where we sinned and failed, Lord, and just help us, God, and guide us. And all that's said and done, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you have read that verse and held on to it like a promise, but then also at the same time been discouraged by it? Anybody? I've talked to several parents along the way about this verse, and to be honest with you, I'm like, sometimes I don't have an answer. I was talking to Mom earlier this week. I guess Mom and Dad were talking about different things in the Bible. Some things I'll be honest, I don't understand. A lot of things I don't understand. By faith, I trust it and continue to study it because I do believe it's important to be able, Brother Allen, to give answer. The Bible says we're supposed to be give an answer to our faith, who we believe in, why we believe what we believe, and I firmly believe that's important. But at the same time, also, I know of circumstances in my life I'm trying to figure out. That doesn't mean God doesn't have it figured out. He does. I'm still learning. I'm a work in progress. This restoration project here is ongoing, and it's going to be ongoing as long as I'm alive. That's just how it is. You look at humanity and how we are and how needy we are. We need something every single day. It's not just an every 6 month oil change. We need help every single day if we're really going to try to follow God and what He has for us. But we see this verse here talking about training up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, here's the thing. When you read that, I know there's a lot of parents, you read that, when you have young children, you read that, and you claim that as a promise. You say, if I do this, then this is what's going to happen. It's a promise from God. Well, I believe this being here, you look at the book of Proverbs, who wrote the book, you go back and you look, wasn't it Solomon? He's talking about his wisdom, sharing his wisdom along with his son. If he's trying to teach his son things, he's trying to write it down. If I'm going to teach my son all these things, the wisest man to ever live, I want my son, my lineage, to know all of these things. And so he put it down in the book. That's a wise thing to do, to go back and read it. But I want you to know there's a difference in a principle and how we're supposed to do things versus an actual promise that this is going to happen. Here's the thing. We're not promised to live until we're old, are we? I know a lot of young people, good moral young people, who passed away before they were old. So how could this count as a promise? How could this be a promise? You know, when you see things like that, and maybe sometimes you know people that were brought up in church, grew up in church, and later on in life they've gotten older and they've strayed away, and you don't know if they're going to come back or not. People run back to this verse and say, well, you promised me. You promised me. This is a principle above a promise. This, remember again, it's in God's word, and this is what was given to us. This is, again, Solomon pinning this down. It's being pinned down, so he's writing this to his son so we can learn from it. How many of you have ever heard the verse Proverbs 15:1? I'm going to give you an illustration. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Have you heard that? Have you tried to use that? Have you tried to experiment with that? Did it work every single time? That's when the wheels start turning. As a police officer, that has not worked every single time. But wait, preacher, that's a promise from God. If you deliver a soft answer, then you're not going to receive wrath. No, that's a principle. It's not a promise. There's a difference. Sometimes we can hold on to things as a promise, but it's a principle. I want us to see the difference in that this morning. I believe that's what you'll find with this verse. It's a principle learning, a principle teaching, that we are to train people up the way they should go. But then again, a soft answer. If that worked, then there'd be no wars, there'd be no arguments. You say, all I got to do is respond softly and nicely and everything will go away. Now, here's the thing. Many, many times when you delivered that soft answer, it did come back okay. Many times it did. And I believe that's what you'll find in this teaching here this morning as far as training up a child the way he should go. That's what you and I are supposed to do. This week, our goal is to teach our young people and each other. We learn a lot from each other in the way that we should go. And you think this is very simple. But I tell you, there's a lot that goes into it. You're going to learn more as teachers this week, probably in some ways, or feel like you've learned more than what you taught. Just probably about every Bible school I've taken part in, that's the way it's been for me. Learning the process, thought process of our young people, different people, what they're thinking. And I want to say this. Now, as we teach people, We want 100% success rate, but I want you to know that's not how it is. If somebody, I look at it as teachers, I look at it as parents also, that if our young ones or people that we've taught, if they stray away from it, we could take it personally and say, I failed, it's my fault, I done something wrong. Now, if we fail our young people, we don't live out what we're teaching, then that's not good. But I want to give you another illustration. Think about Jesus Christ. He came on this earth, he was here, he had his ministry, and he taught. Did he have a 100% success rate in the people that he taught? He didn't. Did he fail? He didn't. You look at Judas. I'll use him, not to pick on him, but you look at Judas. He was as close to God, he was right there with Jesus, as the other disciples, but yet what happened to him? Why did he not fall in line? Sometimes in family you say, well, I raised them both exactly the same, and I don't understand why this went this way and this went that way. I don't understand. Never underestimate the human element. That's the most powerful thing at play in that scenario. Here's the reason why I say this. You say, well, what about God and his overpowering, his Holy Spirit, the power that he has? He has it, but God built into us to have a choice to either follow it or not. When we train up our children, that's our responsibility and what we're supposed to do. But guess what that child has? The choice to listen to it or walk away from it. That's probably the hardest thing as a parent you and I could face. I use the illustration a lot with a coach. A coach is not actively out there on the field, but his and her heart is. And they've tried to instill that in that player. Do these things. Do these things. But that's all they can do. Then they're on the sideline watching, hoping that they'll follow through with it. Same thing with parenting. Much higher, much more at stake level. That's the way it is with our children. The people that we are trying to minister to and trying to mentor. And you're hoping that they will take it and actually act on what you said. But guess what? The choice is theirs. It's up to them. The hardest thing you can do is sit on the sidelines and watch somebody do something that you've told them to do. Do this. Do it like this. I'm going to go a step further here also in looking at this. Each one of us are accountable to God for our own conduct. Each one of us. So the information that you're given, it's up to you to do something with it. So once it's been given to you, who's accountable for it? You are. Once God gives me information, guess what? I now become accountable. What does the Bible teach about that? The more we know, the more accountable we are. So you say, well, let's use reverse psychology. Quit telling people anything. Don't tell them nothing so they're not accountable for it. That's not how it works. We're accountable. Where much is given, much is required is what the Bible teaches us. Let's look at this real quick. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to read something there quickly, and I'll hurry on. I don't plan to be too long tonight. I know we've got to get back, or this morning, I know we've got to come back tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. This is something that I've never really been able to put into words, I don't think, until this morning. And sometimes you really meditate on things, and I was listening to a podcast and had some good teaching in it, what have you, and these verses came up and I thought, this is exactly what I'm trying to say. First Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5, and it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not, hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now, what's that mean? What are you saying? I'll say it like this. We teach other people, but God is the one who gives the grade. Think about that. Maybe you've thought about that already, and it's not something new to you, but usually you have a teacher that's up, knows everything, right? Knows all the things. And then when it's time to be tested, they can go back out and they can give the grade. But you know what the Bible tells me right here? I teach it, but I don't grade it. It's not up to me to grade. Now, you can see things. You can see traits and paths and maybe successes and failures or what have you. But guess what? I'm supposed to teach and preach, but I don't get to grade your work. Ever thought about it like that? That's different. That's a different way of looking at things. So if I look at it that way, the responsibility that I have, it makes me feel like I have to tell these people the more. Hopefully that they'll understand it. Hopefully that they will gain and they'll grow from it, because I'm not even going to get to see your paper. I'm not going to get to see it. I might get to witness parts of your life, but you know where I'm not going to be? I'm not going to be at your judgment. You know that? You don't get to bring mom and dad to your judgment with you. You don't get to bring your preacher, your teacher, your VBS teacher. They're not going to be at that judgment with you. Just Jesus Christ alone. And he's going to grade you on everything you've done in this life. And that's if you're a saved person. As a lost person, depart from me, I never knew you. You look at it that way. So when you take this information, a lot of times we take it, we hear it, we know it, but we don't apply it. And from a coach's standpoint, a teacher's standpoint, that's very frustrating, because there's so much potential. So much potential. We see these things coming together. The best start for our young people is to start them out right. I've heard parents say this. People have actually said this to me. I'm going to let my daughter figure this thing out on their own. I'm not going to force them to believe like I believe. I'm going to let them believe however they want to believe. You know how dangerous that is? Brother Finley, when I went into law enforcement, I had what they call field training. Use the military. I'm sure you had a lot more field training than what I had. It was so important that I respond in such a way that they put me with somebody for months to teach me how I'm supposed to act and how I'm supposed to do, so I don't hopefully make the wrong decisions, because one day I'm going to be out of my own. Now, there's some people that went through field training and that passed it with flying colors, and there's others that didn't get through field training and they weren't wearing a gun and a badge. How in the world could we take something as important as the Word of God and not share that with our children? The importance of it, the guidebook that God has given to us. You say, well, I do that. I hope you do, and I believe you do. But this week, that's the very essence of what we're trying to do with whoever comes through the door, is to teach them and share that with them. I can't express how important that is, that we teach our young people the right way to go, the principles, the restoration, those things that's going to be taught this week. I say that by way of introduction. I'll quickly hurry on. Number one, VBS reaches people. It reaches children at a crucial age. Mark 14:10, it says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." A lot of times we look at young people, little people. I call them our littles. I like that. That's a term of endearment for me. I like our littles. Sometimes we think, that's probably above their thinking. That's probably above what they would understand. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll pass it off like they're too young to understand things. They pick up on things a lot quicker than what you and I realize. You know, they're studying you and me, mom and dad, extremely close, to the point they can pretty well tell somebody how we're going to react when they do whatever it is they do, whether good or bad. I've seen young people, I've talked to young people, say, hey, Don't do this. Your mom, if I tell your mom or dad, I've had them say, well, mom don't care. My mom don't care. Like, really? But that's their mentality. Based off of experience. They know how we're going to respond. Bible teaches us here, suffer not. That means let them come unto me and forbid them not. There were some that wanted to come to him, and they're like, no, don't let those little people up there. Jesus is busy. He's never too busy for his little people. So such is the kingdom of God. Just like little children. That's how God wants us to respond to him. You see, little children, the innocence that they have. One of the things I want us to see also is we are planting now, but it's growing along the way. Don't think that if you don't see all this kind of stuff happen in 1 week, that doesn't mean that the planting didn't take place. Growing takes time. It takes a long time. I got to update you on my grapevine. Had a couple of hiccups, Brother Norman. Had a scare last Sunday, matter of fact. So, you know, things are going, and we've got it through the kitchen window. We can keep an eye on it. I've got a little barrier around. It's kind of like what you'd use for tomato plant, that little cone that goes down in the ground, so it kind of keeps it protected so you don't weed eat it and all that kind of stuff. So it's growing. Now, it's probably, if I held it all the way up, it's probably a good, I'd say 12 was, I'll explain, probably about 24 inches. I mean, it was growing up and sprouting out different ways, and little sprouts are curling around and holding up the cone and everything. I thought, man, this is great. Last Sunday, we're sitting there, I think it was her. Somebody said, look, in the backyard. And I'm trying to look, and I look in the backyard, and there's a deer back there. And he's got his neck up, and he's chewing on the leaves on the trees and everything. And I thought, well, how cute is that? That's cool, you know. It dawned on me. He went across my yard. He had to go past that grapevine to get to that tree. And I'm no expert, but when I saw that, I was like, he got my grapevine. You know why that rascal, he did. About half of it. And first thing I said is, where's my gun? And Brandy said, you ain't going to do that. You know, we're still looking for a baby groundhog. You know how it is. But here's the thing. We planted that back in the spring. It's taking time. And I ain't seen a grape yet. I talked to Brandy's mom, and she said, that's probably about 2 years down the road. It takes time. Things just don't happen overnight. It's not a matter of just planning. Guess what? Unforeseen things are going to happen along the way too. People got to mend from. People got to heal from. That's a completely different message there. We won't go there, but this reaches people, young people, at such a crucial age. A lot of the foundation, I've talked to our littles different times about memory verses, and I ask them on Wednesday nights what they learned about. And they always tell me from Preacher Bill and Miss Sharon what they've been taught. And I tell you, I love that because it takes me back to when I was in Sunday school also. I can remember those times. A lot of the foundational things that I remember in my life about the Bible was learned right back then. It's something amazing. At that young age, it's like I can retain it a whole lot better than I can right now. And it seems like it gets worse as I get older. That's why I write everything down. I don't try to script things or whatever. I got this tablet here, what have you. It's just a notepad. That's why I write everything down. Because I can look out and I can be preaching, I can be teaching, I can be talking. I can see your expression and I lose exactly what I'm going to say. So I keep it together. But you know, as a young person, it's like they lodge it in there. They keep it in there. What a time. What a time to put all that information in. And so what? They can use that. As they face things in life, they can pull from it. Here's the thing. If you and I don't teach people what we're supposed to, we're the ones accountable for it. But if we give it to them, thinking about that principle, train up a child, we give them that. We give that to them. 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You remember when Timothy was being explained that, talking about his mom and his grandmother that was teaching him these things. I think we compartmentalize things. I talked to Brandy a lot about this. And I think this is important for us to know. I know this is probably a weird message, But it's some life lessons we really need to think about. Sometimes, I remember at work, when I was there as a supervisor, you have to delegate things. You can't do everything yourself. Nobody can. Nobody, not one person here can do everything by yourself. So you have to delegate and share things and all that kind of stuff. And my kind of rule was, whatever this is, Brother Dale, it's not going to die on my desk. It's not going to get to my desk and then not get along where it's supposed to go. That's where things bottleneck. When it gets to the person that's supposed to do something with it, and then they don't do something with it, then it dies and everybody's looking around like, what do we do? What do we do? Where did we go wrong? So if everybody's passing those things along to where they need to go, then things should run smoothly. That's the idea. The problem, I think, sometimes what we have is we have the mentality of, let's make sure it gets where it needs to go. But what if you're the one that's supposed to get it there? See, everybody plays a part. Everybody has a role. It's not just enough sometimes just to say, that's taken care of. That's the preacher's job, the teacher's job, somebody else's job. That's taken care of. Sometimes it needs a little TLC, and we all got to help it along. See, remember, we're a church family. We're doing this together. It's something that we get to work together and do together. What a blessing it is that we get to do it that way. VBS often reaches families that do not attend a church regularly. Get to see a lot of visitors. You know how important that is. John 1, 41 and 42, it was Andrew who brought his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. But hey, you've got to come and see this. How important it is to invite people. And I know we do. There's been a lot of outreach this year. And I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to see what takes place. And then you have one connection that can affect an entire family. That one little one that gets to come can go back and tell mom and dad what they learned. That's important. I think in our minds a lot of times we see it as mom and dad teaching the children accepting the Lord, and things progressing from there. That's not always how it is. There's so many different scenarios in life. Sometimes it's the little that teaches the, or that tells the parent. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes it's a brother. Sometimes it's a sister that leads their family to the Lord. It's not always mom and dad. Here's the thing. There's a lot of scenarios where there's not mom and dad. It's not one size fits all. But the gospel is for every one of us. It's for everybody. The importance of every one of us sharing that. This could be very well your opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. You know how easy that is? And I say it like this. It's not a matter of going out somewhere and trying to find somebody to share the gospel with out the dumpster site, Brother Ben. If, guess what? They're going to be here. They're coming here. Are you willing, ready, able to share your testimony with somebody? People have a lot of questions. It's not always the preacher that gets asked the questions. It's not always the teacher. It could be you. Are you willing and ready to answer that question and also be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we get overzealous about things, I think. We want to see things happen. But one thing I have learned, Brother Remington, is this. When the Spirit is there, you'll know it. And when he's moving, that's when you need to move. That's when it's real. Brother Nathan, I'm telling you, seen it happen that way. There's times in my heart, I want this to happen so bad I can't stand it. And then maybe if I'm not in the right frame of mind or expecting it, sometimes the Lord is moving. It's like, it's go time. That's how the Holy Spirit works. But are you and I ready? We're ready for it. I pray that we be ready this week, be available. But VBS, it plants seeds that God will grow. 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says this here. It says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. It's from him. It's not you and I. I don't want anybody to leave this week feeling discouraged. I don't want that. I've seen it maybe sometimes during revival week and what have you. You think you really pray for it. You want it. You have an anticipation. Maybe sometimes in our minds, things didn't happen the way that you perceived that they would, and maybe you get discouraged from it. Don't get discouraged. Put 100% of what you have in this week and don't leave discouraged. That's all you and I can do. Remember, that's what I was saying here too. Train up a child. Tell them everything that they need to know. Teach the lesson with passion. The importance of it. If the teacher's not believable, it's going to be hard to understand, hard to appreciate the way that we're supposed to. Everyone in the church has an opportunity to get involved. You know, I'm going to say this here too. Looking at it this way, I've heard it said so many years that this is the biggest one week, the biggest ministry that our church does on an annual basis. I don't disagree with that, but guess what? We have Wednesday nights, Brother Bill, Sister Sharon, they're taking that on weekly, every single week. Guess what happens when App State's in session? We have collegians every single week. I thought about this morning. Think about the importance of not only sharing the gospel, but discipleship. One of the things that we're taught and learned in law enforcement, you know, our frontal lobes are not fully developed till about the age 25. And looking out, it might be even older than that for some of us. I don't know. But 25. You look at the responsibility that God has given to us, but the opportunity he's given to us. We can reach every bit of that age group, every one of those age groups right here through our own church. A lot of times we spend our time looking around. Well, I want to do something. I told Sunday school class this morning, I want to do something. Lord, give me a burden. I want to do something. Well, you know what? There is plenty to do right here in our church for each and every age group. Even beyond that, visiting and meeting and taking care of our older people. There's always something to do in our church. If you're looking for something to do, pray about it, but come see me. I tell you, there's things that we can be doing, things that we should be doing and focusing on, and it doesn't have to be anything hard. Just keep it as simple. Just following and trusting the Lord. Every single role is important. We can learn from our little people, and it's all a part of the Great Commission. In reaching, teaching to reach each. It's very important that we see that and know that this morning. It's a chance for us to witness and discipleship. I know it's short, and that is absolutely fine. That's part of the plan. But I wonder, we're going to have a time of prayer, and I'm going to close. I'm closing here. But I wonder if anybody has anything on their heart this morning. Before we have our time of prayer, we're going to invite everybody that's taking part in VBS to come forward. I'm going to pray over them. But I wonder if anybody has anything on their heart.